Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
As we continue our series that we started last week called Sounds of the Season, and this week our song that we're looking at is O Holy Night. And that's the whole idea and the point of this Christmas series is to take a look and re-examine some Christmas songs that maybe are, not maybe, they are classic. They're traditional Christmas songs, songs that we sing year in, year out. It was funny, last night we were my kids and I were watching TV and we were watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Because it's December and that's what you do, right? You watch it with your kids. And so I was like, as the movie was going on, I was like saying all the parts to everyone and every character in there. And I forget, Abigail or Isaac looked up and like, how do you know this? I'm like, because I'm 37 years old, and so I've probably seen it at least 35 times, you know? I mean, that through the course, I mean, it's on every single year, and I've watched it, you know, almost every single year, so I know it. And I know it inside and out, backwards and forward. And a lot of the songs that we sing, we know inside and out, backwards and forward, because we sing them year in and year out. But what happens is they can lose their significance. They can lose their meaning because we just sing them out of routine. And so I'm hopeful that over the next couple of weeks, as we examine some classic traditional Christmas songs, that they will inspire some new meaning to you, that when you hear and we sing these songs, that it's not just something we do out of repetition, but something that means something inside of us, something that stirs inside of us. So last week, we looked at O Come All Ye Faithful, and if you weren't here, you can go on our website and listen to the message last week and catch up. But today, again, we're looking at O Holy Night, and I want to give you a little background of this song. Every song has some background and things that you probably weren't aware of. Now, O Holy Night, it was written back in the mid-1880s, so it's been around just a couple of years, by Placide Capot. I know you're all familiar with Placide Capot. I mean, he's just this, that's who wrote the song. Now, a little bit about Placide. Now, he was not a Christian. He was actually a French wine merchant and a poet. That's who wrote O Holy Night. Now, there was a priest who knew Placide, and he knew that he was a poet. And he went to Placide and said, can you write a poem to Luke chapter 2? He was very famous for his poems. And so Placide took the opportunity to write the poem, O Holy Night, based off of Luke chapter 2. Well, Placide knew a musician. And so he said, hey, I've written this poem. Will you put it to song? And so Placide, along with his musician friend, took his poem and put it to song, O Holy Night. And the song took off like wildfire throughout the church. Throughout the Catholic Church, it spread from church to church, and they began singing it year in and year out. Well, it was a couple years after the song had caught fire throughout the church that people began to realize who wrote the song. And they, wait a second. You mean Placide, he wrote this song, he wrote the poem, and they put it to song, and they said, yeah. So knowing Placide and his background, not being a Christian, and actually he was a bit of a hellraiser, as history tells, they tried to take the song out of the church because of who wrote the song. But the song had already spread like wildfire. There was no turning back at that point. So this it starts there, but the song continues on. There's more to the story of O Holy Night. So jump ahead from the mid-1880s to 1906, all right? So it's history time right now, okay? So 1906, there was a man by the name of Reginald Fessenden. Now, I know you know Reg. He's a good guy, all right? But Reginald was a professor. He was a 33-year-old professor. And in his garage, he came up with a makeshift generator and radio. And so when he started up his generator, he put the radio to it and began broadcasting over the airwaves. And so on Christmas Eve of 1906, Reginald read the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And that's how he started his broadcast. Then, after he read the story, he got out his violin and he played O Holy Night. And O Holy Night was the very first song played over the radio airwaves on Christmas Eve 1906. a powerful song. Amazing how things take off. It was written by a French wine merchant and a poet and became the very first song played over radio airwaves, and we sing it today over 100 years later. Think about that. Think about the song that we sing, the words to it. You know, many times we have, you know, thoughts in our heads when we sing these songs. And when we sing the song, O Holy Night, I'm sure there's probably some visuals that you have. That when we sing it, that you see the serene setting. We see the manger. And we picture, you know, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in the manger. And all is calm and all is wonderful. And everything is... But quite honestly, since we're in the history mode right now, this actually is not an accurate representation of the manger. Now, no, I've got a manger at home. Now, okay, that's okay. It's all right. We've got one on stage, so we're not in sin. It's okay. But more than likely, the manger that Mary and Joseph would have been in the side of a cave. That's where they would have been, not in our little nice little stable here with animals around and all of those things. But there probably were animals around, but the manger, the scene that they were in, was probably carved out the side of a cave and not our little wooden makeshift manger scene over here. Now, again, we sing the song, O Holy Night, and again, we think of, you know, Mary giving birth to Jesus. Now, again, think about this. Mary was a teenager. Mary was around 16 years old, and she was... about to give birth to a baby whose biological father was not the man who was with her at that moment. Now, I know that sounds like an episode of Jerry Springer or something like that, but it's not, all right? That's a whole other message for another day. But Mary has the Savior of the world that she is about to give birth to in the side of a cave in a manger scene and at 16 years old. Now, on top of that, she's had to travel between 80 and 120 miles on the back of a donkey or in a cart or whatever. Now, ladies, is that the ideal scene that you want to give birth of your first child? When Rebecca gave birth to Natalie, we had it scheduled to go to the hospital on December 26th, and she gave birth on December 27th. We drove in our Toyota 2 miles from our house here in Plant City to South Florida Baptist Hospital. We had medical staff around. We had a nice and comfortable... I don't know how they did that. I don't know, ladies, I don't know how you give birth. It boggles my mind. Like, I don't know how, like, it just... I commend you. Like, truly, I commend you for having to go what you do. But in this setting today, I mean, at least we have hospitals, we have medical staff, and here we have, on this O Holy Night, Mary, a teenager, giving birth in a manger in the side of a cave with no medical staff, nothing going on. I imagine there's a little bit of tension in the room, or in the cave, or in the manger. I imagine that there was a lot going on. So I want to dig into this song, O Holy Night. And I hope that a phrase that we look at today, because we don't have time to go through the whole song, but there's something that I want to pull from the song today. And there's a phrase in the song that I hope that as you hear it and as you sing it in the future, it reminds you of this message today. It says, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." You see, one word that I think we can all relate to in that phrase, in that lyric of that song, is the weariness, right? That at one point in time, we have all been weary. And we talked a little bit about this last week, that Jesus has come, that we can take our burdens to him. That when we feel overwhelmed and we are weary, we can go to Jesus. Now remember who wrote this song. This is a French merchant poet who is far from God, but yet he pens, "The weary world rejoices." And there's a lot of things that can make us weary. The stress of life, relationship, finances, so much more. But look what the song goes on to say. The thrill of hope. It's the hope of something glorious, a hope of something, the hope of those who believe in God, the hope of those that have been waiting for centuries for the Savior to come has now arrived. The weary world does what? Rejoices. the weary world, the world that is lost in sin, the world that is bogged down, rejoices because the Savior has come. See, if there is any weary world in you, I hope that you will find faith to rejoice this Christmas season. Even in the chaos of what was going on in that cave, in that manger, there was still the understanding that the Savior was coming, that there was a glorious morning ahead. So let's not think about the holy night as much as we think about the coming day, the glorious morning that is coming, that the Savior has been born. That new and glorious morning is everything, because it means that our life now we can spend with Jesus. Through the darkness of the night comes the morning, because the sun has come. Take a look back in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Lamentations. Now, a little bit of background on the book of Lamentations, and if you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it on the screen. Lamentations chapter 3. The book of Lamentations, Jerusalem fell in 586 BC, and as you can imagine, the people were distraught that everything that they thought that they knew, everything has fallen apart. They were, you want to talk about a weary world, that was them. They were distraught, and the prophet Jeremiah was lamenting. Oh, woe is me. He's complaining. He's mourning. Just like everybody else, he is hurting. It is okay to mourn. It is okay to hurt. It's okay to express those feelings. It's important that we don't live there and stay there, but it is okay to have these thoughts. And that's what Jeremiah was doing. He was lamenting. He was mourning. But then the switch happens from mourning to a moment of faith. So if we would, Lamentations chapter 3, starting at verse 20. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to remind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So there are three things that I want to take a look at today. Number one, what a new day in Christ means. What a new glorious morning, a new day in Christ. What does that mean? It means that Christ will bring exactly what we have need of. Everything that we have need of. Not everything that we want, but everything that we have need of. Now, go back to verse 24. Look what Jeremiah does. I say to myself, stop right there. I say to myself, all right, now Jeremiah is preaching to himself. All right, he's reminding himself. How many, we realize that we need to do that to ourselves, right? We need to remind, sometimes we are our own best preachers. Because we have, sitting in our car, wherever we may be, we have to remind ourselves and we talk to ourselves and remind ourselves of what God has done or what God is going to do, or remind ourselves of a verse. And so Jeremiah, the prophet, he's preaching to himself and he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hurry up and complain. No, that's to say, I will wait for him. We all have to do that. We all have to remind ourselves of what God has done. And that's exactly in the middle of Jeremiah's lament, in the middle of his pain, in the middle of his anguish, in the middle of everything falling apart, he's reminding himself of what God has done, that he is my portion and that I will wait on him. We have to look back and remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. And he was going back and looking at how God supplied the Israelites in the desert. That God provided every one of them, all of their needs, not just a part of it, but all of their needs. He provided manna for them. And God was so good that there was extra manna around. It wasn't just that, yeah, I'm gonna provide manna for you, and then you have to duel it out and duke it out to see who's gonna get the most or who's gonna eat today. I'm only gonna supply, there's 100,000 of you, but only 1,000 of you get to eat today, and so let's see how it all happens. No, that's not what God does. God provided for every single one of them, and then there was leftovers. And so Jeremiah was going back to that time, reminding himself, God was with us before, and he provided for us before. I know he will do it again. God is faithful. and he will be faithful to you and I. A day with Christ, a new morning with Christ, means that we can depend on him for his faithfulness. We can depend on him for his provision to meet our every need. Not our every want, but our every need. But God is so good like that that sometimes he actually gives us what we want. He gives us what we need, but then he gives us what we want as well. But it's important that we remind ourselves, and sometimes we have to preach to ourselves, okay, I know it may not look good. I may not understand. I may not fully get it, but I know, I trust God of your faithfulness. I know what you said, and I know what you've done. That's what a new day with Christ offers us. Number two, a new day with Christ offers us the hope to keep going. The hope of a new day in the middle of the night. Look at verse 25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Somebody once wrote that the human, you know, we're all humans, right? I think we're on the same page. Okay, just checking. So we're all humans. The average human can go 40 days without food. My kids can go like 40 minutes without food, but then, you know, but my kids are like everybody else's kid. But 40 days, and I try to remind them, like, you know, you can go 40 days without food. Let's see how far. No, I'm just kidding. So on average, roughly, you know, some people, you know, but roughly 40 days without food. We can go about 8 days without water, give or take. 4 minutes without air. Again, give or take. Some people, it's like 30 seconds, hold your breath, I'm going to die, okay? But on average, 4 minutes without oxygen, but only a few seconds without hope. We can go 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without oxygen, but a few seconds without hope. You see, we place our hope in a lot of things. We place our hope in things that ultimately are not going to sustain eternity. You know, there's a lot of people that we put our hope in everything in the stock market. Well, we know what happens. It goes up and down. We put our hope in our job. But guess what? That job can fold tomorrow. We put our hope in relationships and in people, and we trust them. And then all of a sudden, what this was a tremendous, wonderful relationship has now turned sour, and you don't even know who that person is. But I put all my hope and my faith in you, but it fell apart in a matter of moments. It can just go. And then in those moments, the things that we were holding on to, the things that we were hoping for, are gone, and we become hopeless. But the only thing that can give us true hope is hope in Jesus. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is what? Faithful. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. You see, we need to grab a hold of the hope that comes in Jesus. Just like the guy I saw this past week, and you may have seen it on the news or on social media, of the guy who was on vacation, and he was doing a tandem a glider. And so he was on the side of the cliff, and the instructor was down and harnessed in, and then the guy that was going to go with him was going to be hooked on as well, and they were going to take off. Well, the passenger was not hooked on. And so they take off the cliff, and the guy is holding on, and he's just dangling. His feet are down there because his safety harness is not attached. And he's holding on for dear life. Now, I watched this video in horror because I'm going, my dear, what? Like, how is he so calm? I would have been absolutely losing my mind. But he's just holding on like this. And then he kind of reaches over and grabs the instructor. The instructor's trying to land them somewhere. They go to a bunch of houses. They couldn't go there. The wind takes them a little bit higher. And here's this guy just holding on, bare knuckle. Even in the caption of it, he says, my fists were probably implanted in that bar. Why? Because he knew if he let go, boom, he hits the ground and he's gone. Thankfully, as the video goes on for about 2 or 3 minutes, he was holding on to that bar for dear life, and they were able to safely land with only a sprained wrist or a sprained ankle. You see, he knew if I do not hold on to this bar, that all hope is lost and I am a goner. That is how we have to hold on to our faith and hope in Jesus. That we hold on to him, because when we let go, boom, it's over. We lose all hope. He knew, as long as I hold on to this, I'm going to be okay. We have to hold on unswervingly to the hope of that we profess, the faith that we profess, and never let go of Jesus. Because when we do, we lose all hope. Everything is gone. People are falling into hopelessness. They're letting go in the faith that they once knew. Or they're letting go and things that they were holding on to, poof, are gone. Imagine, as I was watching that video, I'm going, what if something happened to that bar? Like, that's the only thing that was keeping him alive. What if it snapped? What if something happened? That's what many people do. We hold on to things that may fall apart. And unfortunately, they do. Jesus is the only thing that we should be holding on to. I saw a statistic as well this past week that said the population rate in America was in decline. But it wasn't in decline for the reasons that you may think. One of the reasons why the population declined in America is because the rate of suicide. The number of people committing suicide is skyrocketing. Why is that? Why are people killing themselves? Why are they taking their own lives? Because they've lost hope. There's nothing to live for. Everything they were holding on to is gone. Their relationships, gone. Their money, gone. Their hope in people and stuff, it's gone, and they have no hope. But when we hold on to Jesus, we know he's always going to be there, and we hold on, and he will sustain us. He is the hope that we need. We get trapped into thinking that everything else will sustain the test of time. But the only thing that will sustain the test of time is Jesus. He is the hope in the middle of the darkness of night. He is our hope. He is the hopeless. He is the hope for the hopeless. In the middle of the darkness of night, to know a new and glorious morning is coming. Another way to read Lamentations 3, 22 and 24 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. There is another day. There is the morning coming. The sun will rise tomorrow. We just have to make it through the night. The weary world saw darkness, but the sun came. There is hope for the world. And that only comes in Jesus. No matter how dark it may be, no matter how hopeless we may feel, Jesus is the answer. We have all had times when we felt hopeless. There are times that we didn't think we could measure up or whatever it may be. You may be here and feel hopeless, but I want to encourage you today that there is hope only in Christ alone. And remember that. Maybe you had a relationship with Christ at one time and it was closer than where you are now. Maybe you've gone through a season of difficulty. Maybe you've been challenged with your faith. Remember, he is the one who has sustained you. He is the one that brought you out of the darkness. He is the one that provided for you. He is the hope that keeps us going. Don't lose hope, because there's a new and glorious morning coming. Number three, a new day with Jesus gives us the help that we're all seeking. Look at verse 26, chapter 3, verse 26. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You know, as I was remarking when we took communion a few moments ago, that sometimes we lose its significance or we lose its impact because we've done it for so many years. Just like the Christmas songs that we sing, we've sang these songs 100 times. They lose their importance and their significance. And sometimes we can forget the difference one day with Christ can make in our lives. One day with Christ can change the trajectory of our lives. Look at just a couple examples from the Bible. Look at Lazarus. He was dead for 4 days. I love how the King James puts it. He stinketh. All right, so that was some bad smell right there. You knew he dead. Like, that's all there was to it. He was dead. Everybody knew it. He smelled. And then Jesus comes along and says, Lazarus, rise. And what does he do? He gets up and he's alive again. One day, one encounter with Jesus changed everything. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 agonizing years. She was separated from her family. She was ostracized. She was kicked out. I can only imagine waking up every day, not being able to see my family, not being able to be in the company of others. And then with one encounter, one day with Jesus, everything changed. She was healed, she was restored, and her life was changed. Look at the man who was, for 38 years, he was paralyzed sitting at the well. 38, I'm 37 years old. That's one more. I could not imagine being there for 38 years, paralyzed. And then who arrives on the scene but Jesus and changes his life? One day with Jesus changes everything. You may be weary. You may be losing hope. But one encounter, one day with Jesus can change everything. We serve a God who is able to heal. Sometimes it doesn't happen the way that we anticipate. It doesn't happen in the time frame that we want. But truly, an encounter with Jesus can change everything. You may be in the middle of a dark night, but a new day with Christ can change everything, can give you the hope that you need for tomorrow. When we are in the darkness of the night, we must understand and hold on that a new day is coming. Look at Romans chapter 13. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let me say that again. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. You might need to repeat that to yourself every day. The night is almost over, but a new day is coming. A new glorious morning is coming because of what Jesus has done in my life. The night is nearly over. The new day is almost here. The darkness is almost over. The sun is coming. The sun is always rising. The Son of God has risen. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morning. A new day with Christ can bring more than we ever imagine. And sometimes we forget that. We come to church. We sing a song or two. Yeah, I felt like God was there today, but I'm dealing with stuff. I'm struggling. I don't feel God. I don't feel the same way I used to, and we just kind of go through the motions of things. But remember that first day that you met him. Remember the first day that you made Jesus the Lord of your life. What did that mean to you? What impact did it make on the rest of your life? The decisions that you made. Maybe you were dealing with what the song is saying. You were the weary world, or you were in the dark of night. You were sitting there in the chaos of the night, not sure if the morning was going to come. But you had an encounter with Jesus and everything changed. You realized that your sins had been forgiven. Your mistakes are in the past, and now I've got a new day with Christ. His mercies are new every single day. Wait, is every day I get to? Yes, every day we get to experience it. There's no qualification. We just have to anticipate the morning coming. His mercies are new every single day. Maybe we have taken for granted what he has done in our lives and say, God, show me fresh and new. Holy Spirit, revive my spirit again, because I want to sing the words of the song and know and live in the glorious day, the hope of the morning, because the sun has come. All across the room, if you would, close your eyes, bow your heads. Holy Spirit, speak. Speak to our hearts. I pray, God, this morning, if there is anybody here today that feels hopeless, or they are in the middle of the dark of night, may they not walk out of this place today the same way they walked in. May they walk out with hope. May they encounter Jesus today to know that we can rejoice in the risen Savior, that the sun has come, the sun will always come, the sun has risen, and we can walk in your light and the hope that you give us. If there is anybody in this room today that feels hopeless, hold on to the hope of Jesus. Put your hope and your faith not in men, not in relationships, not in money, not in jobs, but put your hope and your faith in Jesus alone. Hold unswervingly to the faith that you profess. The enemy might be playing with you and putting thoughts in your mind and questioning you to doubt whether or not you have a relationship with Christ. That is a lie. If you have given your heart to Him, you have submitted your heart to Him, you are in right relationship with Him. Hold on to that faith. Never lose hope. Because there is a new day with Christ. Always on the horizon. For the weary world rejoices. A new and glorious morning is here. Holy Spirit, I pray that we would walk in the remembrance of what Jesus has done in our lives. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I need a miracle in my life. I need a miracle. I need that encounter with Jesus. I put my faith and my hope in Him, but I need a miracle to happen. I want to join with you in prayer. So if you have something, with every head bowed, every eye closed, just put your hand up, put it right back down so I can pray with you. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. I'm going to wait. There's somebody that's not, you haven't raised your hand yet. Every head bowed, every eye closed, somebody, you haven't raised your hand yet. Don't feel bashful. Don't feel. God's speaking. God's moving. There's anybody. I'm not going to prolong this. Thank you for those hands. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. God, I pray for every single person that raised their hand. You know exactly where they are. You know exactly what they have need of. And right now, we are praying and believing for breakthrough to happen. We are believing, God, for in the middle of the darkness of night, for the new and glorious morning to come, with what an encounter with Jesus can bring, the hope of a new day. God, may we be revived in our spirits, in our hearts, to serve you, to share what you have done in our lives with others, that they may not experience hopelessness, that they can experience the hope that only Jesus can provide. I pray, God, for every person in this room to walk out full of hope today, full of excitement, full of joy, to rejoice in the risen Savior. We thank you, God, that your mercies are new every day. That none of us in this room are perfect. That we make mistakes. But that we get up and walk in your grace and your love and your mercy and continue on. Because a new day is coming. God, I pray that you bind us together. Unite us together in spirit and in truth. To never, ever keep this message to ourselves. But to share it. So the world can rejoice and experience the hope of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. So I hope when we sing O Holy Night again, or when you hear O Holy Night on the radio, that something changes when you hear the song, that it has new meaning to you. It has new meaning to me. If anything else, you learned a lot of history about the song that you didn't know before. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.